is remarkable. He comes up towards the winning line under Davy Russell to win his second Randox Health Grand National.
Desert Orchid, watch history being made. Roars of applause. The king's in his county.
Heading down towards the last ride in the champion hurdle, and it's Annie Power comes towards it now. She's about four lengths clear. Vizio, she jumped it perfectly.
Yes, hello, and welcome along to another episode of From the Horse's Mouth. What a weekend that was, and we've got a great show in store. We're joined by Group 1 winning trainer Johnny Marta, as well as the usuals Paddy and Ruby. We'll have lots of chat on all the big headlines from the weekend. Get it all straight from the horse's mouth. Yes, hello and welcome along to another episode of From the Horse's Mouth. It was a magical Champions Weekend at the Curra and Leopardstown, and even there was a bit of champers on ice after the Matron Stakes. We'll be joined by Johnny Marta very shortly, who's joining us on the back of a great weekend for him and his team. But first and foremost, I'm delighted to be joined by kind of two of the greats, really, Ruby and Paddy. How are you, men?
I'm great. Good to chat to you, Tom. That introduction there, I could see what you're doing there with the few puns. They weren't great, though, but, you know, good effort.
Oh, that's a shame. I thought they were okay.
I kind of got where you were coming from as well, but seeing as Champers on ice actually got beaten, I was thinking, well, what's he saying now?
But Champers Elise won the Matron, and the giddy giggle you can hear in the background is the trainer of the aforementioned Johnny Marta. How are you? Welcome along. Monday after the night before, did you make the most of it? Did you enjoy your celebration?
Oh, listen, it was a great couple of days for us. You know, Champions Weekend, big 2 days in Irish racing. You know, we just came home. We had a bit of dinner together. All the family was here. You know, family is very involved in it, so everybody got a great kick out of it. And for our stable to win a Group One Champers Elise on Saturday, and then to finish it off with Sonny by Liston yesterday, you know, it's something that we will never forget. It was a brilliant 2 days for our stable.
Johnny, the one thing that struck me, I suppose you've been asked, like, how did it feel 100 times between Saturday and now, so I'll ask you maybe a slightly different question. The one thing that struck me in your interviews afterwards was, I'd say maybe a few people in the past have said to you, there's Johnny Murta, great jockey. And you were very keen to kind of put the point across here. You're not a jockey anymore. You're a trainer and now a Group 1 winning trainer. And that's your new business. And you don't want to be dwelling on past successes. It's all about the future. I thought that came across really in a couple of your interviews. And I just thought it was an interesting thing. Is that something that's bugged you in the past, that people just see you still as Johnny Murta the jockey?
Well, yeah, listen, as you say, it's the past tense. It's move on now. You know what I mean? I want to be known as a Group 1 winning trainer. I believed I had the ability. I believed we had the team around us that could make it happen. We just need the horses. I think this year we have, you know, with the horses we have, we've done a very, very good job with them. And they have improved from, you know, really from day one. But, you know, yeah, you know, and there's this mindset of, you know, good jockeys don't make good trainers. Like I believe I'm a good trainer. I believe, as I said, if we get the horses, we can produce them on the big days. I've seen how it's been done, you know, all my career. Whoever I was with, we had Group 1 horses in the stables. So, you know, I was looking forward to getting the opportunity to have one good enough and to see, could I produce it on the big day, ready to run for its life? And, like, Saturday, there's loads of satisfying, proud. There's loads of words I could put down to how I felt that day. And it was just a huge, huge relief. Relief, probably another one of them. But to finally say, yes, everything you're doing it well. Just keep doing it. And that's one thing I put out in the group the other day to the lads. It's the biggest day of the year. We don't need to change anything. Just do what you do, lads. It's got us to this point. You know, there's no need to do anything different. The horses will sense that. So just keep doing what you're doing. It's got us to this point, and I believe it'll be good enough, and thankfully it was.
Johnny, just talking about Champs-Élysées there as well, like you say, having the horses good enough is a big part of kind of getting that success, but maybe she wasn't always necessarily good enough on her ratings, and she's improved a lot over the last couple of runs. Have you changed anything with her specifically, or is it just a filly on the improve?
No, she's a filly on the improve. We always liked her. She always showed a nice bit of ability. I suppose this year, after the handicap, we realised, yeah, she's very nice. But, you know, she nearly sold twice, so we wouldn't be talking about it if she passed, you know, the veterinary inspections twice. But it's just, I don't know if it's luck or what you call it. I think I have been a bit, you know, always luck has been on my side, which you need in racing. But since Galway, I did think this filly, she's got something. They don't go up Galway Hill and win by 7 lengths. And then you have a few people saying, oh, sometimes you can get funny results in Galway. The ground was soft. She got first kick on them. But they don't win in Galway by 7 lengths if they don't have some amount of ability. And then, like, the way she trained into the Group 3 race, the Fairy Bridge, she improved a lot. It was she never missed a day. Her work was very consistent. Danny Sheehy, who rides her out all the time, he says, Johnny, this one has improved a lot from Galway. So I was starting to believe then that we had, you know, a filly really going places. Now, if you gave me finishing in the first three in the Matron the other day with the standard of race it was, the calibre of horses that was in it, Guineas winner, French Oaks winner, best two-year-old filly in Ireland. If you gave me the first three, I would have probably taken it. But just a few days leading up into it, she was walking around the place like, you know, she knew she was good. And I think it was a very, very good performance. And watching it back again last night, there was no hard luck stories. There was no fluke about it. I just loved the way she quickened. And more importantly, the way she pulled up after the race. She's like, I put her in the paddock there this morning, which she's been going into that paddock for the last number of months. But she's running around, bucking and kicking, and I'm a little bit more nervous now watching her than I have been.
Johnny, did you when you looked at the race beforehand, the Matron, did you decide or did you ask Colin or tell Colin to just get on the back of whichever one, Fancy Blue or Peaceful, whichever one is slotted in? Was it your plan to be behind the second one of the two big fillies?
Well, I didn't really see the race. I didn't see Fancy Blue being back as far as she was. I just said to Colin, did you watch the videos? He said he had. I said, did you see the video of her winning at the Curra in the 7 furlong handicap? He said he did. I said, that's the one to go on, rather than the other ones. You know what I mean? That was the one to go on. On that ground, I said, this one has a real good turn of foot. It was her first time over a mile. So I wasn't sure she was going to get it as well as she did. But I just said, if he can save her, I said, she's got a great turn of foot for the end. And the way the race worked out, it couldn't have worked out better. He was back a bit further than ideal, but when Fancy Blue came up to him and was in front, and he was following her into the straight, I did feel we were in a very, very good position.
And Johnny, it was one of those runs. There was no crowd there yesterday, but when she picked up from the back, there's a video of you going around on social media. I think we can have a listen to it now. You nearly roared the roof off Leopardstown on your own. It was great to hear. We'll have a listen. For anyone who hasn't seen it, it's definitely worth checking out. Johnny, for you, like, we've spoken about words, how does it feel? But I think all there for you and your wife, it's just relief, I think, is the key word. And it's just, it's great to see such celebration when you get a great result like that.
Well, I was watching Know It All, who was fighting out the finish with Peaceful for the start, and then I just switched over to Champs-Élysées coming down the outside. So at the 2 marker, I thought she was coming, but like she was coming with Fancy Blue, and I was wondering would she get by her. But it was only in the last half a furlong you could see she was getting on top. And hey, listen, it was just one of those There was nobody there, only me and Orla. I know how hard she works. I know how frustrated she gets looking at me at times. But again, as you said, the relief, the satisfaction, and the way she did it, you know, it was one of those great days. There was no crowd, but Wayne Lorden did say, I knew you won because I could hear you. I said, did you? And he goes, yeah. And I was riding in the race, so it was probably pretty loud.
Johnny, congratulations, first of all. Jesus, we could listen to you all day, to be honest with you. I mean, you're very articulate and very well-deserving first Group 1 as a trainer. So well done. But it just feels this season, or since we got back, even before that like trainers in form, like the Murta stable has just been in form for the entire season. I mean, how is that even possible? I mean, what are you doing something different from other people or whatever? Because it just, like, do you know the way trainer just stables do tend to go through cycles? But you're just banging them in the whole time.
Paddy, like, I think now it's not just, I hear, oh, his stable is really informed this year. If you look back at our stats, the last couple of years, we have been very consistent. You know, the horses can win in March. They can go right through the season running well. And they can also win in November. We're not doing anything different. I think we've a better calibre of horse. But of course, health is everything in Ireland. If you can keep your horses healthy, and you can, like, I think anybody can get them fit. We've got great gallops here in the Curragh, big development, loads of new gallops. So I think everybody or every trainer can get them fit. It's just managing them, their minds, freshening them up between races, you know, getting them up, letting them down. That's the key for me. And I think we have done that really, really well. You know, we've a good system here. We have paddocks out the back, so horses can, you know, go out in the paddock for 15 or 20 minutes after the ride out. I think they enjoy that. It's the little details, I think, that you have to pick up on. And as I said, I feed every night at 9:30. It's a brilliant time to see the horses. You go out there, you're on your own, you see them in their real comfortable environment. And the signs are there. I nearly know by the way I feed them or how they are at night, how they are, if that makes sense to you. You just know by looking at them.
What sort of boss are you? Are you like, when you hear stories about Bulger and that being real strict on some of the big names in racing went through that yard? But I mean, say a young fella got into Johnny Murta, is he getting the carrot or the stick?
Listen, I'm very tough, but I'm very fair. I think I tell them exactly how it is. I don't want any surprises. If there's something going on, I should know about it. I've got Valerie Keatley, who's head girl. I've got Ulrich, who drives the box. So everybody knows the system here. I try and step back, let the staff, kind of the new people involved, let them see what the guys that have been here all the time do. And you know after a week or two if they're going to stay with you or not. But now, in fairness, the jockeys, I'm probably a little bit harder than I should be on them. But I was talking to Ruby about this yesterday. And I was saying, you know, like, why don't they do this or why don't they do that? They should know this or they should know that. But you know, not all of them do. But I'm very happy with the riders we have at the moment.
But really and truly, I'd say you're a tyrant to come back into when they've done something wrong.
But he's not. You can't say it anymore now, Johnny. Like, they don't even know you used to be a jockey, because now that you're just a trainer. And you never were a jockey. You can't give any
advice. I know, that's probably right, you know. But I just come in. If I get annoyed, I just say, don't say that and just look at the video and ring me on the way home. Because, you know, don't start. It's bad enough. Don't start. You know, just go in, look at the video and ring me on the way home. But I think the lads are getting to know me now. And, you know, maybe.
But that is the default with all trainers that ever rode. Like, I could tell by Paul Nicholls when he's face and you come back into the parade ring. You'd know with Willie Mullins if he never even appeared in the parade ring. So you need to know with Johnny when he tells you to look at the video. You know you've done it wrong.
Johnny, before we let you go, what's next on the agenda for Champs-Élysées?
Mr. Two Race is there now. There's the Sun Chariot in Newmark. It's fillies only over a mile. Or the Breeders' Cup mile in, I think it's, where is it this year? Keeneland. You know, I think a mile around Keeneland would suit her really well. She's got a good turn of foot. But listen, the plan was the Matron. You know, the plan was the Matron. I keep telling the owners the plan was the Matron, and they go, well, you nearly sold her twice, Johnny, so where did this plan come in? You know what I mean? So, but since winning the Group 3 in Goren the other day, that was the plan. So we have to sit down, we have to have a chat. They're just loving the moment. I think with a syndicate of guys like that and Paddy, you'll back it up with your mum and dad own Soul Power. Like, they don't expect to get a horse like this. They don't expect to win Group 1. So, you know, when it happens, it's like I met a few of the guys the other day and they were saying, Johnny, this is one of the best days of my life. And I said, imagine if you were there, it would have been even better. And they said, no, we were in Dudley's house in Castleknock. They had the big screen up. There was, what, 10 of them there or 12 of them there.
You mean six from two different households?
Well, it was a big house, so they were outside at the barbecue. So they were absolutely, you know, when I went brought the trophy back in, like it was like the World Cup had just come home, and that's what gave me, I think, as much a kick as her going by the line there. It was great to see. I was just coming back in the car to Orland saying, that's the magic that can happen in this racing game. It's not going to happen often, but at least there's a chance it can happen. And once there's a chance, that is the magic. And I think you can back me up on that, Paddy.
100%. Exactly. It just drags people together, and it's unspeakable, unthinkable how good it is.
Listen, Group 1 winning trainer Johnny Murta, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, and that sounds good.
Cheers, Johnny.
Thank you.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
Right, before we move on to the rest of the show, we've got a couple of big headlines for the weekend just to reflect on. Guyet, best horse in the world, sent packing from Leopardstown. Paddy, we discussed tactics last week at various stages. What did you think? Magical, getting the job
brilliant.
Done.
I mean, it's really weird, because I guess that's the thing about racing, because I wasn't here with you at the weekend, but I listened to the podcast. It's a very good show. Unfortunately, I listened to it after racing on Saturday when all the winners were tipped. But Magical shouldn't have been beating Guy at the one we've seen this year. But I think Ruby made the point that it's like, when you get to Aidan O'Brien's backyard, basically, which is Leopardstown, and Magical's been there, done it before, and she looks so comfortable. And even the way the tactics of the race, like Magical just stayed on Guyet's boot the whole way around and just out-battled him, really. I mean, there's no excuses for anyone. It was just a really brave performance by Magical.
Ruby, we talked on Friday about what the tactics might be. Would Armory be sent forward as the kind of sacrificial lamb to take Guyet on for the lead? But in fairness to Magical, she kind of did it the hard way, didn't she? She bet him on his terms.
And I think that's what made it even more impressive, Tom. The fact that a live one, a horse that actually could beat Guyet, went with him and served it up to him. It became a duel all the way between two horses that actually could win the race. There wasn't one put in as a spoiler or one sent forward just to disturb Guyet. The two best horses, and the three actually, Japan went with them but wasn't able to keep going. They went at it from the start and allowed Armory run on to finish third, but he didn't take part in the race. That's what made it the duel it was, and that's what made it such a brilliant race to watch. The fact that two live ones went at it every step of the way.
A great weekend for the O'Brien clan. Another Group 1 winner for Dunica in Shale. Thunder Moon as well in the National Stakes, Ruby. He's now kind of at the top of the 2000 Guineas picture. What did you think of him?
I thought he was really impressive, but the only danger never got off the bridle. That was Lucky Vega. Things got tight going to the furlong pole. Thunder Moon got out. Lucky Vega didn't. That's race and race riding. That's tactics. But Thunder Moon was really impressive, and you could see why he's favoured for the 2,000 guineas. Shale was tough. Back on quick ground, she'd be pretty gorgeous.
Paddy, a lot of people might claim that Dermot Weld has had a quiet time of things over the last kind of few months, but within a couple of minutes, he had two Group 1 winners over the weekend. Search for a Song, back-to-back Irish St. Ledgers, and Tarnawa was quite good
in France.
Yeah,
I think Search for a Song in particular was just obviously a great training performance in inverted commas, but that's exactly, this is obviously the only race that mattered this season, and did it really, they're hard, because I mean I'd actually be patting Fujiwara Prince on the back a lot, because he was fully off the bridle from about 4.5-5 furlongs out, like proper at it, and just kept finding more and kept finding more. Search for Song really had to dig deep to get by him in the end, and I think was a good, probably as true a race as you could get for an Irish ledger, and the quality mightn't have been as good as some of the years we've seen, but as true a race there could have been, and had to find every ounce and be every bit as good as last year to win it. So well done, and yeah, Dermot Weld in France, like, fair play to him. It's good to see him back amongst the winners internationally.
Ruby, will stick in France because there's a big change for me personally in the ARC picture now. I thought Mogul was very impressive in the Grand Prix de Paris. We're maybe seeing flickers of what was that talking horse over the winter in Mogul, and he's come back and he's done it quite well. He beat In Swoop, the German Derby winner, very well. And Gold Trip, whilst he flopped in the French Derby, but he won a trial earlier in the season as well. So I think Mogul has might give the fillies at the top of the ARC market something to think about now, if he can kind of maintain that form.
Does one swallow make a summer?
Maybe not, but I think he's maybe recreating. He was doing something at home that maybe excited them, and is he maybe coming back to that a little bit?
He's a big, gross, round individual. Maybe with all the racing, he's starting to get near pitch peak fitness. But no, I still think Love and Abel, and maybe the French filly as well. No, Tom, not for me.
No, Tom. Simple as that. Anthony Van Dyke and Stradivarius. Paddy, quick word.
Well, funny, Ruby always said Anthony Van Dyke needs about 3 miles. And he might have been right, because Stradivarius looked like he was going to come up and get by him, but Anthony Van Dyke just grounded out. They'll say it was a tactical race. They'll say there's just reason to crab the form. But there was nothing between them really at the end. And both want further. And Anthony Van Dyke won it. I don't think he's any superstar still. And I think maybe... I know it won't make a difference, but it probably does answer a question about whether Stradivarius is good enough to, or fast enough to win an ARC, which I don't think he is, but anyway.
Right, that was a whistle stop tour of the headlines, and now it's time for this week's Racing Gold. 1970 saw the debut album from the Jamaican reggae band Toots and the Maytals. The Beatles disbanded, and NASA's space program hit trouble with their 13th Apollo mission. Maybe a 14-year-old Tom Hanks was watching that with interest. Diana Ross and the Supremes were riding high in the charts, while Nijinsky reigned supreme across the three classics that make up the English Triple Crown. He completed that hat-trick 50 years ago this week at Doncaster.
It's Politico and Charlton, with Nijinsky now moving up just behind Charlton, and Medeville is up there on his outside with 2.5 furlongs to go. It's Politico on the rails. Charlton is with him. Nijinsky now just coming out, and at the moment Leicester hasn't asked him anything at all. With 2 furlongs to go, Politico on the far rails. Charlton losing his place. Nijinsky cruising up on the outside as smooth as silk with 1.5 furlongs to go. It's Nijinsky cruising into the lead from Politico, and followed by Medeville now in third place, and then Charlton. 150 yards to go, and this great horse riding home, Nijinsky from Meadowville, challenging strongly on this side. Politico on the far side at the post. It's Nijinsky the winner. Meadowville second.
Ruby, we hear a lot about Triple Crowns being hard to come by, and they are a rarity on this side of the pond. We've had a couple of recent ones in America, but Nijinsky is kind of that folklore flat horse, isn't he now, after on the back of that that amazing Triple Crown?
It is, Tom, and you see how many horses have tried and failed since. I think Camelot being the most recent to get there, and how difficult it is. I mean, to go from winning a mile in Newmarket in the spring to September in Doncaster, a mile and 6 furlongs, it does take an incredible amount of doing. But I think the reason maybe we don't see as many horses trying it now is the way that the breeding has gone, and the appetite for faster horses, letting your horse or your supreme colt that's won at a mile and 1.5 miles go to the St. Ledger and win 1.6 miles, when as a stallion he's more attractive winning the Irish Champion Stakes at 10 furlongs. I think that's why we don't see as many horses doing it, which is a bit of a pity too, but that's what happens. If you get a seat of stars, could he have won the St. Ledger? Of course he could, but he turned up in Leopardstown to win the Champion Stakes, and then went and won the ARC and became the superstar that he is. That's probably the real issue with it.
Fair point. Paddy, you have a long and storied relationship with short price favourites, and I'm sure Camelot was one of those to kind of maybe catch your eye in the Ledger when he was having his own tilt at the Triple Crown a couple of years ago, only to get done.
Yeah, probably did. I can't remember. Probably did back him. But exactly to Ruby's point, I think it's because of that. Because with the Derby, you kind of try and stretch out a fast horse and hope he sees out the 1.5 miles of the Derby. And then it's just a step too far to stretch another 2 furlongs out of them, especially if you're fast enough to win a Guineas. It's, but maybe the horses these days are just different. Maybe there were more staying types back in the day. But yeah, I mean, if you had a horse good enough yourself, Tom, and you'd won a Guineas and a Derby, you'd be more likely to go to see the Stars route, wouldn't you?
I suppose you probably would. The bigger payday.
Exactly. Now you're talking.
We haven't really spoken about this year's ledger, I suppose. Ruby, what did you think of Galileo Chrome? He was a big mover in the market when declarations were made, but what did you make of him?
I thought it was a brave shout from Joseph O'Brien. I thought the race in the Curragh looked slightly weaker with the allowance. I thought he would go there, but Joseph sent him to Doncaster. Should we expect anything different from Joseph O'Brien? Probably not. But I thought he was a good winner. I felt really sorry for Shane Cross. Obviously testing positive for coronavirus on Friday. And team missed the ride. Tom Marquand, who of course had lost the ride in English King earlier in the year, he got his day in the sun. But I thought he was a tough winner. I thought he battled really well. Plenty of controversy. Pile driver ended up on the far side on his own, but I don't know what's the difference in winning and losing, to tell you the truth.
Paddy, whilst it is hard luck on Shane Cross, you do get the impression that Tom Marquand is just a nice bloke, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it's good. Karma goes around, comes around and all that. And this sounds awful, but English King hasn't had much luck, has he, since they made that decision. But like, and it's a mixture of Frank and then jocking him off. But I'm very happy for him. So I think it's just like Johnny Murta there. It's just, you know, good things happen to good blokes, you know what I mean? They're good people. And he's obviously, he took a real well on the chin. We talked about it when he did get jocked off English King for the Derby. He took a real well, like a proper pro. And he's proven himself to be fair. He's won a classic, so he's well able for it.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power. Paddy Power shops are back open, and with them, the return of a massive racing offer. We're giving best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples, all UK and Irish racing, all shops, all day. Limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in shops for more details. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Righto, time for a deep breath, Paddy. Calm, compose yourself. It's time for this week's Dear Paddy.
Ah, Jesus.
Dear Paddy, was there too much brilliant racing this weekend? Gaeth, Magical, Pile Driver, Serpentine, English King. It's all just too much to take in and would make you yearn for a classics handicap from Sligo or someplace, with half the field running for their next handicap mark so you don't feel guilty for not taking an interest. And won't somebody think of poor old Coolmore? How are they supposed to win every single Group 1 if so many are run over a single weekend? Shouldn't Britain and Ireland and France all get together and spread the good races out a bit? We're all working from home these days, so watching racing all afternoon on a Wednesday wouldn't be a problem.
There's something in the whole international fixtures or pattern, whatever the hell you call it. There's something in that. Like, I think it's funny. Like, I know that having the Doncaster Ledger and the same weekend as Champions Weekend, but it's still brilliant. You just got to be greedy and enjoy it. I mean, we've said it this year. I know it's a kind of a tongue-in-cheek question, but one of the few good things about 2020 has been the fact that the whole calendar has been kind of squished into a shorter period of time. So we do have better racing more often. And, you know, we've had an amazing weekend. We're probably going to get a bit of a lull now. We do have an amazing Arc Day coming up, so there is still something to look forward to. And then the jumps comes back. So it's okay. It's just roll from one big day to the next. And yeah, if there's too much crap on, you start realising there's a lot of crap racing out there, and you're better off to be able to forget that.
Well, it's almost time to wrap up the show this Monday, but we've got a few quick questions from social media to finish things off. Paddy and Ruby, we'll start with Paddy. C asks on Twitter, if you own Stradivarius, would you be sending him to the Arc or to win the Long Distance Cup on Champions Day at Ascot? Paddy?
I don't know. I don't think you can win the Arc, but I'd probably still send him.
Ruby, what would you do?
If he was mine, he would have been at the Curragh yesterday in the Irish St. Ledger, and then I would be going to the Arc with the dream still alive.
And the final question, Jim Dudley asks, why do we not have top grade one sprinters in training in Ireland? Do we not have the prize money for these races or the interest? Ruby?
I don't know is the God honest truth why we don't have top class sprinters. I don't know. But even sprint handicappers, Tom, I think they're just faster in England. Is it the style of race and maybe the tracks they're run at? Do we have top quality handicaps at really fast tracks like York, like Epsom? I just think English sprinters are quicker, and maybe it's to do with tracks. I mean, most of our top sprints are run at the Curra, which is stiff. It's straight five. Nace is a straight track. It's stiff. Navan is a straight track that's stiff. Belfast is a straight-ish track, and so do Tipperary. But they don't have good races. Cork is a fast track, but it tends to have more 7 furlong straight races than anything else. So I don't honestly know, Tom.
Paddy, even when Soul and Slade Power were in their pomp, they did most of their running in England, didn't they?
There was no races for Soul Power in Ireland. Slade was 6 furlongs anyway, although he won the Flying Five when it was a Group Two. But there just wasn't the races. I mean, we would have loved to have Soul Power. Like, he ran in Ireland a couple of times towards the end of his career, but and he ran at the very start as well at Dundalk and that. But there just wasn't the races here for him. I think that has been addressed a bit. Like, having a Group One now, Flying Five, was great. That might help drag up the quality. Having the straight track at Nace is also going to be a help, because that's relatively new as well, isn't it? So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to have 5 furlong around a bend. So, I think it's just a matter of the fixtures book. And if they want, and speed is more important now than it was, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, I guess. But 5 furlongs is proper speed. So, yeah, not sure.
Lovely stuff. That's all. Any plans for the week, Ruby? You're probably working / golfing every day, are you?
No golf this week, Tom. I am working okay, but no golf this week.
And Paddy, do you mostly golf or work these days?
I was away for the weekend. That's my problem. So I'm literally.
I thought you were a bit downbeat today. Yeah, you a bit shook.
I was away. I was down in Lahinch and played a bit of golf in Lahinch and Doonbeg, and it was great. But I'm thinking about giving up golf. Take a sabbatical anyway from golf. Wasn't that good? I ran out of golf balls twice.
Oh, I hate that feeling.
Maybe we'll get you a few lessons for Christmas or something. Righto, that's all for this week. Lads, thank you very much. And we'll chat to you, Paddy, on Friday.
Good luck. Be good.
Cheers, guys.
Righto, that's all we've got time for this week. My thanks to Johnny Murta, who graciously gave us his time. Thanks, as ever, to Paddy and Ruby. And, of course, to you for listening. Make sure to check out all the latest odds and offers on paddypower.com. And tune back in on Friday for our tipping show, looking ahead to the weekend. But for now, I've been Tom Nugent, and that has been From the Horse's Mouth.
From the Horse's Mouth is a Muddy Knees Media production for Paddy Power.
Bye, Johnny. Bye-bye. Right.
How do you leave?
You hang up.
Oh, hang up. Right. Well done.
Red button, Johnny. Red button.
The red button.
I can't. I'm after pushing the red button twice. I'm about to get me wife.
He's not a Group 1 winning phone call maker anyway.